Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of April. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Natalie Arroyo. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have, your earrings, right?
They kind of, they're a little bit horseshoe shaped. Yeah.
But they're upside down.
Oh, what does that mean? Does that mean the opposite of good luck?
Yeah, the good luck runs out.
Yikes.
Instead of being kept. You didn't know that about horseshoes?
I didn't know that about horseshoes, no.
All the things you can learn right here each morning.
Yes, so informative you are.
All right. Well, that isn't, why do we say that? Beef. Why do we say that someone has a beef?
Oh, good question. I'd love to find out.
Yeah, you're not even going to try, huh?
I'm not going to try.
All right. According
I'm a
to,
vegetarian.
Yeah, right. Okay. According to, at least for the next 2 minutes, right? According to cowboy lore, something was wrong if the steers weren't bellowing continuously by the third day of a cattle drive. Noise level mounted as time passed so that a herd near the trail's end could be heard as ear-splitting as modern heavy-duty machinery. Residents of railhead cow towns didn't need to be told when a rancher and his cowboys were getting close. Noise made by the beef, could be heard for miles. Cattle drives are long gone, but a person who is loud in finding fault is still said to beef or bellow like a tired and thirsty steer.
Wow.
So it almost like makes sense.
It almost does.
Almost sort of.
And I say I'm a vegetarian, but I do eat fish. And
fish have mothers.
I know, there's mothers and fathers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know somebody told me that was the reference, you know, as you go through the gradations.
Oh,
that
okay.
If something has a mother, then okay, it's not vegetarian. And then if it has feet, then you just kind of progress your way down through the whole food chain.
Mm-hmm. I also eat dairy products like it's my job. The dairy, the
you have to support the USDA,
really,
okay.
<you're happy> with me.
Fair enough. Or so the local dairy co-ops, how's that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I support our local dairy industry directly.
I knew that you were a supporter. So how's the battles with the budget going?
It's going okay. We have a two-person committee that's going through and meeting with every department and talking about their budget for the coming year. And it has been very informative, I'll say that. I'm learning all about departments that do things that I had no idea that they did. So it's
kind of learning what you didn't know.
Exactly.
So to speak. Yeah. Well, yep. And that's what I have heard from folks that have migrated from a smaller governmental entity into the county positions and the seats you are that, oh yeah, I know. And then you get hit with the tidal wave and you go, well, I guess there's a little bit more involved than what I thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the same concepts, but on a different scale, on a much, much bigger scale. And some of the responsibilities that the county has been lovingly passed down from the state are
stunning.
Stunning. That's a great word for it. Yeah, they're extensive. They're complex. There's a lot of reporting required. And then they're not, always 100% funded. So,
or funded in a timely fashion.
Exactly.
Either way, yeah. So when as you're hearing from the folks that you're working with in the county government, then you've also got the folks at the state that you're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's a different funding river, if you will, from city to county.
Sure.
Has that been as overwhelming?
I wouldn't say it's been terribly overwhelming. I mean, frankly, we have a lot of really professional staff to kind of buffer that. So they're the subject matter experts, and I'm the one, being asked to kind of look at the big picture.
You mean keeping down the idiot factor?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They've been doing this, decades a lot of times, and they know all the ins and outs of it.
I love the way that newbies will either try to hedge their speak.
This is just how I talk, Brian.
I know. It's like, if it was reversed on the question, the idiot factor, me trying to come up to speed, it's going to take a little bit longer than what I thought. And that's it. But
I like to shout out our staff whenever I can.
Well, yeah, that's why they're there, right?
Yeah.
And their chosen career paths. How's that for something to contemplate as we go to break? It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo from the Humboldt County 4th District. From, of, representing, I guess they're all interchangeable.
All of the above, yeah.
Yeah. So the budget meetings, yeah. I guess, they're not really presentations because I know that there's that.
That's coming up.
That's coming up, and yep. That's a more formalized presentation structure. Is this a give and take so that you're able to kind of ask questions in an informal setting?
Or? Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. The purpose is really to allow the departments the chance to share where they're at and what their needs are in a less public environment first, just to kind of work through some of the kinks, and then those will be presented to the public in the coming weeks. So it'll be a bit of a tense next few meetings potentially, just because our Measure Z recommendations are coming forward. Unfortunately,
that should be pretty quick.
Yeah, unfortunately, the amount to allocate is much lower than it's been in the past. And so that obviously is going to create some challenges. And then, our budget's hot on its heels. So we will have
financial discussions.
And I think everyone kind of starts to, lay it out on the line in a way that's meant to highlight the needs. But the needs are great. And so it's certainly going to be a challenging couple of weeks, but season always is.
I would think, I go back too far, I suspect, but I remember John Falkenstrom when he was the Ag Commissioner talking about, and nobody thinks about the Ag Commissioner. I get that. The only time we see anything is a little stamp on the gas pumps for most of us, right?
Sure.
Or the scales in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Make sure that they're...
Those are the ones that touch people's lives, yeah.
Yeah, but, it's the butcher that's doing it. It's not us leaning over the counter reading super fine print.
Sure,
it's the confidence level. Yeah. But he said, if the department head isn't the strongest advocate for their department, even if it kind of puts them at odds with their buddy sitting next to them from another department, they're really not doing their job.
Sure, yeah.
Unless it's really, shooting the moon and you don't need that.
Right.
There is still that team player aspect, but if they don't, there's something wrong. And I would think not only for the appointeds, now that kind of gets a little dicey because, as long as they can count to three, they're okay. But for the electeds, now you get into that dynamic, who has more support?
Right, right.
It's just an intriguing approach that we have with the structure that we have.
Yeah, that's something that's really different between cities and counties is, we have so many elected department heads, which creates a very different dynamic. The city of Eureka is incredibly top down.
Not top heavy, top down.
The city manager is really one of the few positions that are, work at the pleasure of the council, and they make decisions about pretty much everything else with the council's buy-in. So the county is very different, and so I'm learning also the dynamics there, and it's been helpful to be in these meetings and kind of have a chance to ask the questions that I personally feel a little bit awkward asking publicly, and I think everyone might feel a little bit awkward answering publicly. So those are good.
Because they're base questions or very specific questions in areas that might be a little tenuous?
I would say both. So some of it is, asking questions about the realities of work in the department that are just challenging to answer and complex. So people want to be able to give us a succinct answer in those public meetings, but sometimes they have to kind of work through it. So this is a good trial run. And then it's good for me because I frankly still ask dumb questions. There's a lot that I, you know, don't know about our funding streams, for example, that I'm still sussing out.
You're still making the first rodeo here.
This is my very first rodeo, it feels like.
Yeah. It takes two or three before you really kind of understand what's going on. Yeah. I mean, obviously that's true in almost any position.
Yeah. I feel like I rode the sheep previously, you know. I was in the junior rodeo before, and now I'm in the big kids rodeo.
Yeah, people get hurt there. They just don't get dirty.
Yeah.
So as you're going through this, how many of the departments have presented already? Are you halfway through yet?
Oh, we've gone through all of the departments in the ad hoc, which is that two-person committee meeting. So we've gone through everyone, and now departments are taking a chance to do any final refining before they present publicly.
Yeah. It would be interesting, I think, for a lot of us to hear from the department heads. Okay, so we have the practice run and then we have the real run. What their takeaways were from presenting, who's the other?
Michelle Bushnell.
You and Michelle, yeah. Okay. From meeting with you two and Alicia.
Yeah.
To see, you know, because most of them have done it multiple times.
Well, this is actually a new process, to have this two-person.
The secondary.
Ad hoc committee as an initial stage of review and discussion. So this, I think it's something that people seem to like. So I imagine that we'll keep doing it, but it will be interesting to hear their perspectives.
Oh, gee, I just can't imagine a department head that wouldn't enjoy having more meetings.
Yeah. But when it comes to making a case for their budget, they actually do kind of enjoy that special time.
You keep believing that one.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo from the Humboldt County 4th District. Natalie, the challenges that we have in the area, you know, with marijuana cratering, okay. You know, if it comes back, you know, I guess it'll be a surprise. Yeah, I still think when legalization happens, we haven't hit the bottom yet. Because if RJR is buying up, and I understand that they are, acres in the Central Valley to grow this stuff.
Yeah,
there's a tidal wave coming.
Huge greenhouse installations in the Central Coast.
So it's like, okay, you know, we may niche something, but it's not going to be anything like what some of the folks were anticipating that it was going to be. Fair enough. Redwood, we've had those shakeouts already. But we look at what the future might be. Humboldt doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it's there back filling in because who knows where we would be without that. We got the internet, the cable, and some of that stuff that's there, but it's not a huge economic splash for the community. And then we've got the two on the North Spit that are sitting there in the proposal stage, the fish farm and the windmills.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are thinking the windmill construction is really going to be the benefit for us.
Sure.
The other stuff, if it happens, it happens. But if we can be the place they build those things,
that'd be a huge asset.
Big. Yeah. And we got the fish farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a fish farm. It's fish tables, I guess.
I would say it's a farming operation.
Yeah,
it's
well, most when you think about farm, you know, you're sure. in the bay, and there would be fencing and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone, for a lot of us, suspiciously quiet mm-hmm. in the last 6 months or so. What's the status of that?
Sure. So I met with the CEO of the company, Nordic Aqua Farms, when I first, you know, pretty soon after getting into office, just for an update. They've been reaching out and visiting the area. You know, they had some changes in the company, and so the new team came to visit and met with a lot of electeds, and so that was good to see. That there's still that presence.
Yeah, that was the big question mark everybody had, okay, with the resignations, and then they go silent.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like, so are they still around, or are they still interested, or is it refocusing on other projects and we're out in the dark?
Yeah, they've been visiting here, making some design updates, I think, to their kind of sequence of build-out, and then, you know, they still have an office here. And they actually did share with me when meeting with me that they have a fully built out operation in Denmark. And I already had plans to go on a personal vacation to Europe, flying in and out of Copenhagen with my husband.
In winter?
A few weeks ago. It was a little rainy at times, but it was lovely.
Oh, okay. It was rain. It wasn't
Oh, no.
Snow
actually, it snowed
ice.
on our first night in Copenhagen, but it was, I will say, it was lovely. It was like little flurries, you know, just scenic snow.
It was Rockwell.
It was absolutely Norman Rockwell
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, it wasn't Arctic tundra.
Nope.
Okay.
No, it was lovely. So we flew in and out of Copenhagen. So right at the end of our trip, we actually did rent a car and drive out to this town called Hanstholm, which is about 7 hours from Copenhagen, which is as far as you can almost get in Denmark from Copenhagen.
And still be on land.
Yeah. And we visited their facility that's been there for almost 8 years, where they grow yellowtail kingfish, which are a southern Pacific Ocean species. There is one other subspecies that, anyway. The kind they grow was originally from like the area in Australia and Chile, like the southern part of the Pacific Ocean. And so they have a fully built out facility there that's that we got to tour. So my husband actually used to work in the aquaculture industry here in Humboldt Bay, no longer does, but he was able to provide some interesting insight just because he knows what he's looking at and, you know, some of the filtration systems and lab testing equipment and all that. So it was really insightful and interesting to see the facility. I think there was some public misconception about my trip. I paid for it entirely on my own dime and just tagged it onto a vacation.
You got lit up?
A little bit, yeah.
Really?
There was some speculation that perhaps my trip was paid for by someone that it wasn't. And I can assure you it was absolutely paid for entirely by me.
So the ignorant were not hesitant to ask.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
Okay, so. That's my cheap shot of the show.
Yep. So it was a really interesting, frankly, like spending 2 days of my vacation going to and from there and touring the facility was worth it. It was really informative.
So your takeaways, you have a higher confidence level with these folks.
I would say I do. Yeah. You know, just seeing the scale to which they've built out their operation, they're also investing really heavily in it. And then they've had a lot of, you know, here in California, we have a lot of very strict environmental regulations, and they do there as well. And it was interesting to hear how they've handled that. So they've made additional investments in their water quality, you know, treatment process, and a lot of the pieces that I think we'll also face challenges with here.
Wasn't that one of the concerns people had, was the water that was going out at the end of the process would be different than the water going in? Different being cleaner.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't heard that particular concern, but
and how far out is it going to go?
Sure,
and how
sure.
You know, it
yeah,
it's interesting where the concerns lie.
Sure.
And if now with that backdrop and knowing some of the players who have those concerns, mm-hmm. is it sound-based concerns, or is it more of the don't build anything, anti-development concerns?
I think there's a lot of different concerns that I've heard. One is about energy use, because these are pretty energy intensive facilities. So when I think about the pen based aquaculture, where they basically throw a big net in the water in like a bay or even in the ocean, and then they put a ton of fish in there. The upside of that is that it takes very little energy, because the fish are just out there in
fish.
A natural water body, yeah, being fish. The downside is that all their, you know, poop and excess food could be adding more nutrients to the water and making that, you know, impacting water quality. And then, you know, there's the risk of fish getting out of those pens. So if they're not native fish to the area, they could cause some problems.
Yeah, you don't have too many fish hitchhiking out of a fish farm.
The way that I saw it, I was like, there's really no way for there to be what they call escapement, which is just fish getting out.
And that was a concern. That has been an expressed concern.
It was early on. It was a concern, but now I don't think it really is for other folks. But the downside of the interior facility or the indoor fish farm is, you know, large energy consumption compared to that outdoor component.
But it's less than the pulp mill.
Certainly less than the, yeah, it's less than some other industrial operations. So I think if you see it as like something that's really just producing a certain kind of food in a really artificial environment, but it's still an industry for our bay, then, you know, those are the people who view it that way, I think, largely are supportive. And then there are people who still have concerns about that water quality piece. One thing people asked me about was smell. And I will say the facility in Denmark, it didn't smell like anything, really. I mean, it smelled like standing over a freshwater aquarium in someone's house and, like, sniffing. You know, it's just that faint, like, fish food smell. Inside the facility and outside, it didn't smell like anything to me.
You know, if we've allowed, encouraged, permitted, et cetera, these marijuana manufacturing facilities with the air quality concerns, and you can tell driving by what's there, it seems pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think the encouraging part to me is they're just as heavily regulated there, and they've managed to get through those processes. And then, you know, just seeing it in operation, seeing it be clean and well-staffed and people who really seem to love their jobs, you know, it all seemed very on the up and up.
Did you take pictures?
I took a ton.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Natalie Arroyo. So out on the spit there, you know, I guess for a lot of us, Natalie, we wait to hear the first shovel being dug.
Yeah, fair enough.
The first saw cutting something. You know, that sign, seeing one of the cranes, yeah, doing something, a cement truck rolling it, that says it's happening.
Sure.
What kind of timeline are you seeing for the projects out on the North Spit at this point? Do we have one?
I think so. This is the boring but real answer is that there's still some regulatory next steps. So, for example, the Harbor District's property that Crowley is a company that's going to do some of the build out and design and bring in materials and specialists and do a lot of work around that facility that's going to support the offshore wind industry. So they're going to build components and turbines and hopefully manufacture and at least assemble some of those components there on the Harbor District's facility in Samoa. That project, they've got a lot of funding so far, a lot of grant funding, but they don't have everything they need. They're going to be going through the CEQA and California Environmental Quality Act process soon. And so that will, I would say, will be, you know, likely a couple of years out from seeing major construction work.
Seeing, hearing, touching, feeling.
Seeing, hearing, touching, feeling, noticing cranes.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
What about for Nordic?
Yeah.
Is that on the same kind of a timeline, or is that going to be something a little bit sooner?
Frankly, I don't know. Supervisor Bone asked yesterday in our meeting. I did a little presentation about my trip and my tour with photos. So if people want to see that, they can go to the county's website and do that. There's a video of it. But he asked a question about whether the Maine project, they have another project in the state of Maine, and asked whether that project was planned to go first before ours. And I haven't heard anything about their current plan for sequencing the project. So frankly, I just don't know. I do know that their personnel have been here, and some pretty high up people in the company have been here looking at the facilities and kind of making a plan to move forward. Right now, it's going before the Coastal Commission. And so that project, once the Coastal Commission weighs in, I think they'll know next steps. So all of that is to say, I don't know. Yeah. But
if there's progress, even if it's not out in the field progress,
Sure. It's
still happening.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the biggest. Well, and it's kind of like what the Supes in the previous rendition had with PG&E, and you guys have with PG&E.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that we don't trust you, but, gee, give us updates. Let us know what's going on instead of us finding things out after it's already happened.
Sure.
You know, the surprise factor is not necessarily
unless
it's around
great.
Your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. And I see it as a big part of my role to welcome and, you know, work with any potential industries that are interested in coming here to be open to their interests and concerns and to really be responsive to that. So today I'll be going and speaking at the ribbon cutting for Crowley's new office in Eureka.
Oh, they're, not a speech.
I know. It'll be short.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, welcome to our town.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Where are the donuts?
But I think rolling out that welcome is important because we get kind of tucked away behind the redwood curtain and I think people tend to be very suspicious of any new thing. And I, for one, see that we need investment in new sectors of our economy.
And we have a reputation.
We do. And for killing projects.
Not a positive, yeah. Yep. So anything that's a kumbaya. Maybe you ought to bring the donuts.
I might bring a few donuts.
Yeah. Here. And walk down the line. Kind of like a reverse receiving line. Or, no, you wouldn't want to take Lutefisk. Ugh.
Probably not Lutefisk. No. And this is Crowley. They're just from the
know,
East Coast.
Yeah, I know, but from where you came from, yeah, save the lobsters for dinner tonight. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.